Galatians 3, verse 28 to 4, verse 7. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to the promise. My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves. Although they are owners of all the property, but they remain under guardian of trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while they are minors, we enslave the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also a heir through God. And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you to Zaza for leading us to that reading. In our church library, which is just between those doors there, for those who haven't visited our library, in our library, the section of books that is taken out the most are the novels built based on biblical characters and biblical events. So when a person is gaining knowledge through the use of a story, so a narrative is what is educating someone, the power of a story and a plot, that's what people mostly prefer. That's why that's the most used section of our library, is where the stories are. There's a whole lot of beautiful other books, but people mostly turn to get their information when their information comes to them as a story. And I want us to just appreciate that for a moment, and also to appreciate that all of us, in a sense, are waiting for a moment when someone will say to us, what is your story? What is your story? And I do hope that one of the lasting effects of this series that we've been on in this month will be that you and I become people who say to someone, what is your story? You know, and to find ways to say that. Tell me your story. What's going on in your life? Where have you come from? Let me have an insight into your life. I hope that's going to be a lasting legacy of the series that we have been on, and to appreciate the importance of that. And I kind of feel that, you know, we've only scratched the surface. This month is already over and we're moving on. And there's many stories that we haven't yet heard that are waiting to be told. We really just feel like we've scratched the surface. But as I take us into the Birthday Sunday sermon, I'm inspired to lead us in this particular way, to get us to appreciate that on this Birthday Sunday, of course, we're thinking about our story, Trinity Methodist Church's story, and how it all started in 1952. But to get us to appreciate that our story is taking place in the midst of other stories. So we are a community of faith, but each of you who are part of this community have your own personal stories, and your stories are taking place in the midst of the story of your extended family, and that somehow filters in and becomes part of Trinity's own story. And Trinity's story is happening in within the midst of the story of the city of Joburg, and that's happening within the midst of our South African story, which is also taking place. You know, there's a geopolitical story happening, and so the picture that I've got in my mind is, you know, those Russian nesting dolls or babushka dolls where everything is inside something, and the little character is inside another character, looks, and so on. That's kind of our stories. You with me? We're like those nesting dolls, the babushka dolls. There's stories within stories within stories within stories. But let's go back to the beginning of our story, and you'll see how I want to unfold this, and I hope you will find this meaningful and interesting. 1952 is where our story started as Trinity Methodist Church, and this might be the oldest picture we have of the start of Trinity Methodist Church. It's the Women's Auxiliary. They took the name for themselves of the Roosevelt Park Methodist Women's Auxiliary. 1952, this is our start. And just taking that name on themselves was an act of faith, because those who know the Methodist journey know that your Women's Auxiliary is named after the society. So we now have the Trinity Methodist Women's Auxiliary. There was not a society called Roosevelt Park Methodist Church. In faith that there will be a society called Roosevelt Park Methodist Church, they took the name Roosevelt Park Methodist Church Women's Auxiliary. And they were also part of a home group meeting in the area, and here they were preparing for a fundraising event for the church that they were hoping would form. The very next year, 1953, the Roosevelt Park Methodist Church Sunday School was formed. Again, there was not yet a church called Roosevelt Park Methodist Church. That society would only be formed about 5 years later, Roosevelt Park Methodist Church, and then in 1965 changed its name to Trinity Methodist Church. And so that's where the story started. And of course, our story is not over. We continue. But just before I take us from this slide, I just do want to say, I hope those are not beer bottles. That story in Roosevelt Park Methodist Church was taking place within a bigger story, a much bigger story of what was happening in South Africa. And I think an interesting way to trace that story will be to again go to what happened almost next door. It could have almost been literally next door. In Roosevelt Park lived a couple, Joe Slovo and Ruth First, in Roosevelt Park. And they were bravely fighting against the apartheid tide that had started, that was only 4 years old at that time. And they, in their home, were hosting the diversity of peoples that were South Africa. They were hosting interracial gatherings and working out how to network with each other for what would become a very long and dangerous walk to freedom. That was 1952 Roosevelt Park. They lived for the 50s into the 60s in Roosevelt Park doing their work. In other homes in Roosevelt Park, Nationalist Party supporters were meeting to talk about what can they do with the problem of the neighboring suburb of Sophiatown, which was this diverse suburb, very vibrant and yet on the doorstep of what had been declared a white area, and they wanted to deal with the problem that was Sophiatown. And 1952 they were plotting. 3 years later that would lead to the destruction of Sophiatown and the forced removal of black people to Meadowlands, colored folk to Easter River and other Easter Rift and other places. So these are all stories that go back, you know, Roosevelt Park, 1952, and some of those stories in one level are over, the legacy remains. And history and time has also showed who was on the right side of God's will at that time. Some of the stories, of course, are not yet over. Vladimir Putin was born in 1952, by the way. And the last one to interestingly mention in 1952 was the first commercial flight between London and South Africa, the first commercial jet service. For those who like their aviation history, that's a de Havilland Comet, and it was the British Overseas Airways Company, which later became British Airways. That's interesting because that marks 1952, and that flight, the first flight, marks South Africa's own big leap forward into the reality called the global village, which of course is very formative for us all. All of that is to say that our story as Trinity Methodist Church was taking place within other stories. And if I can get us to appreciate that so many of the stories, and this is why I chose what I chose, was all about this diversity, which some were forcing in the direction of division, and others were embracing the diversity and saying, in this is the goodness of God. And I want you to think about your life and to get you to appreciate that, are you aware that you are a character in a developing story? That one day you will tell this story when somebody says, what's your story? And you will speak of your role in the story, and you will speak of the characters around you in Trinity Methodist Church and their role in the story. Do you appreciate that there are important things that are happening in our country and in our world, and we need to place ourselves on God's side as partners in that story? Are we doing that? Are we present? Are we aware? Are we conscious? And are we involved? Are we partnering? Or are we kind of just going along with the ride and watching what other people do? Particularly, are we building an appreciation of diversity and what that can mean in our world? Are we agents of building communities of unity? Earlier this week, I had a number of emotionally difficult hours. Something happened that really made me very upset. And it relates to something that kind of sits in the background, and then every now and again, something pushes it to the front, and something happened. Well, what happened was, so next year I turn 60, and I've started to dream about doing a race, an event, a running event, a trail running event, bigger than I've ever done before. So that's kind of the idea that's stewing in my brain at the moment. And I was just spending a couple of minutes thinking about the 100 there's a 100-kilometer race on Table Mountain called the Cape Town Ultra Trail Race. And I was thinking about that and looked at some pictures, and there was one picture, and all of a sudden I just was overwhelmed, because we had lived for 19 years in Cape Town, and you could have taken a picture like that of me on the mountain every week, and it was just feeling the loss, you know. This weekend we've had friends visiting up from Cape Town, and just feeling the loss of the people we had known there. And it really was very, very difficult just to journey, you know, to just remember that. But the strange thing is this, you know, and Angela and I have spoken about it. You know, if a church from Cape Town phoned and said, come to us, we would say no. And it's because of Trinity Methodist Church. No. There is just something so special. You know, there's churches, of course, in Cape Town. And duh. But But there is, you know, not all churches are alike. And there's something incredible about Trinity Methodist Church. Our diversity and the people here and the responsiveness to my leadership here. I'm really in a very privileged place as minister here with staff. We really are a team. We're not just a staff team in name. We really are a team. Lundeka and I have worked together here all of my 12 years. I found her here when she, you know, when I arrived. So, you know, and all of the others, you know, we really are a team. I'm not going to go through all the names, but it makes this a really busy, active church that we do a lot. You know, we have a vibrant and viable children and youth ministry as well. Not a lot of churches have that. We have a vibrant and viable evening service. Not a lot of churches have that. We have a lot on offer. We are inclusive and affirming of people's different identities. We are, you know, there's a responsiveness to progressive understandings of the faith. And so I could go on. It really is something very, very, very special. And our sense is, you know, we don't want to walk away from that, you know, even if it was to Cape Town. It was, it just really is special. So what, you know, that what I've just shared is kind of, oh, and that was the picture I was meant to be showing. That was one of our delightful things, you know, the Farina. Getting to, because of the team that Trinity is, getting to preach in a restaurant. That was our Farina event. So that's, in a sense, my answer to the question. Something I'd like to celebrate about this church community and how it relates to our faith journey. What do you want to share? Turn to somebody around you. Turn to somebody around you. Something about your heritage, something about the church community, something about your faith journey. Okay, thank you for that. Something I'd picked up. Vernon, if you just want to stand for a sec, something I picked up when we were... Vernon was in that 1952 Sunday school. You were also... Oh, my goodness, Michael. Oh, you also. Oh, you were the pianist in the Sunday school. Oh, wow. That's really special. So some of you also need to last 73 years in the church, eh? Especially the young ones. 73 years from now, you still got to be here. There we go. When you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a script, they make this interesting RX in that style, which is Latin for recipe. And it's their the recipe they're giving you for healing. That's what they write on the prescription. And what I want you to just be in touch with is that God uses stories as a recipe for healing. And just to appreciate that, how stories can be a recipe for healing. And if I can put it this way, how God has used stories in God's relationship to us. We know about creation through stories, the stories in Genesis 1 and 2. We know about the fall through the story of Genesis 3. We know about salvation through the story of the people of Israel saved from slavery in Egypt and the story of Jesus. And so I want you to appreciate that, the role of stories for healing, and to appreciate again how you can be part of a story that's unfolding. You know, when the law was given on Sinai, Deuteronomy describes it, Deuteronomy 5, all the laws, the Ten Commandments, and then other laws. Then Deuteronomy 6 is the great, what the Jewish people call the Shema. The Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. So at the end of all of this giving commandments, then God says through Moses, when your children ask, what is the meaning of these laws? This is Deuteronomy 6, verse 20 and 21. When your children ask, what is the meaning of these laws? Tell them the story that you were slaves in Egypt and so on. Go and have a look. So God says, when you want to know, tell a story. When you're wanting to teach, tell a story. When you're wanting to get to know somebody, ask them their story. And let us make sure that we are part of a story of God's saving work in the midst of a world of division. Can we be part of a story of God's saving work in the midst of a world of division? Amen.